Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I was just thinking, I talked a little bit in the last hour about how small the margin was of Joe Biden's victory and how it really was not a resounding yes for all of his socialist ideas. In fact, I think a lot of people were hoping he would be moderate Joe. If you've been paying even any sort of attention, you knew that wasn't going to happen. I mean, you absolutely had a feeling this guy was going to be radical. I was impressed with how quickly he got into it. I thought he'd kind of boil the frog and have a nice, slow, steady start. But he got after it, as Chris Cuomo would say. And it got me thinking because there's a lot of Democrats out there, I'm sure you guys know plenty of them, who can afford to vote, I call them limousine liberals, but they can afford to vote with their hearts. You know, they can afford to vote for who they like more. And who they can talk to their friends at the country club or, you know, at school pickup and say, oh, I couldn't stomach voting for Donald Trump. But those people who are on, like, who maybe voted for Trump the first time and then got so much flack from their friends who turned and ended up voting for Joe Biden, they didn't vote for his policies. Especially not the ones that he's putting in right now, because a lot of this stuff is going to hurt those limousine liberals. A lot of these policies are going to really impact kind of middle class America. And when they go to the gas stations, they still got to fill up their tanks. But it's funny to me because they voted for the idea. They voted for the man. Okay, they voted for Joe. It was really a vote for anyone but Trump. So they voted for this guy who feels, you know, who cries, who whispers. They voted for the whisperer because it made them feel good. But if you wrote down the stuff that Joe Biden is implementing, whether it's his disastrous handling of the border or anything else, saying that kids should probably be back in school, that kind of rhetoric where it's like he's the president of the United States and he's like, yeah, they probably should be back. Maybe, I don't know. You have to be thinking to yourself, I should have voted for the policies over the person. Because it's like anything else in life. You can have a friend who's fabulous, who you love to go out with, who you think is the most fun and, oh, such a nice guy. He's the greatest. It doesn't mean that you'd employ him. It doesn't mean you want him to be the head of a company. It just means you don't mind having a beer with him. He's cool, you know? He's kind of crazy. He's that crazy friend. But they let their feelings and their, I don't know, it's the weakness. The people that can afford to vote, not based off their wallets, but can just be like, oh, I just want... He's bringing dogs back into the White House and he loves chocolate chip ice cream. Well, this is what you get. You get a complete mess. That's what you voted for. And I love how every time someone brings something up and complains on Twitter, other people will retweet it and say, this is your guy. You voted for him. You wanted this. If you didn't look into who he was going to hire and all of his policies, that's sheer laziness. And this is your fault. So don't come crying to me when you're filling up your car and it's expensive. I would take Trump, and people like Greg Gutfeld have said this from the beginning. They said, don't go based off his tweets. Don't go based off what he says. I mean, I'm a Trump fan, so I kind of got a kick out of his tweets and what he said. But I know some people don't like his style. Don't go based off that. Just go based off what he does. If you can do that, if you're adult enough to kind of compartmentalize his personality versus his policies, then you would understand why we were in such a better spot with him. But now we're stuck with Joe Biden, who won't even decide how he feels about schools opening. He has said out loud to a young child at a town hall that kids have a very, very, very low rate of getting this virus or transmitting it. But he can't even come out and say, listen, from the bully pulpit and say, we're opening up schools. He's so weak. And I'm not mad at Joe. I'm not mad at Joe because I don't think he even knows what's going on. I'm mad at the Americans in the middle who let their feelings get in the way of a great president. And now we're stuck with, let me get cut four. This is what we're stuck with.
It's a small precaution to take that has a profound impact. It's a patriotic responsibility, for God's sake.
Talking about wearing a mask. And let's hear a little bit about his take on science and the CDC cut eight.
Kids in K through 12 schools obviously are not going to be able to get the vaccine by the fall. Should all schools in this country be open this fall for five day a week in-person learning regardless?
Based on the science and the CDC, they should probably all be open. There's not overwhelming evidence that there's much of a transmission among these people, young people.
Yeah, we know. That's why Ron DeSantis has had schools open for months now. We know that. We get it. If I was, Jared, I'm 28. I don't have any kids yet. But if I was in my 30s and I was a mom and I had a bunch of little kids who were stuck home or worse, going to school with these masks on their face, I would be out of my ever loving mind. I would be the mom at the city council meeting screaming into the microphone. I would be. I know it because it's all so insane. And I want to mention here, there was an interesting shift. I don't know if you guys caught this, but Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, he gave an incredible rebuttal to Joe Biden. And he said, we're not a racist country. And if you follow the Democrats, that is one of their favorite talking points, is how racist we are. In fact, they talk about how awful of a country we are so much that China decided they would use it against us and say, hey, don't talk to us about human rights problems. You guys got your own fish to fry over there. You got your own issues. That's how often they use it in campaigning and fundraising emails. That's how comfortable they are with this rhetoric that we're bad. And Tim Scott, who I love, flipped it on its head. And he said, we're not racist. And as it was pointed out in that piece I was reading before, a good portion of this country agrees with Tim Scott. Don't forget that. Don't forget that there's a lot of Americans out there who voted for Donald Trump, who think this is the greatest country in the world and who think that these Democrats are ruining it. So then I noticed that Kamala goes out the next day and their internal polling must be, whew. It must look like after a major has an accident on the rug. That's all I'm going to say. It must be totally brutal.
Love your dogs.
We love your dogs. Because Kamala Harris did an interview and she was asked if she thought we were, I don't know if it was fundamentally racist or if we're a racist country. I don't know how it was phrased. But she said, no, we're not. But even her saying, no, we're not, was a change. Because for a long time, it was like that was their main selling point. We are so racist. We are the most racist. If you watch Joy Reid, it's like racism is everywhere. Everywhere. I read an article the other day that said the air was racist. I didn't click on it, obviously. I don't want to lose brain cells, but everything is racist. But Kamala had a shift. And then I see this cut. Cut two.
I watched the speech last night. I watched the address. And then I watched the rebuttal from the junior senator of South Carolina last night, Tim Scott. He said, among other things, America isn't racist. Is it?
No, I don't think the American people are racist. But I think after 400 years, African Americans have been left in a position where they are so far behind the eight ball.
See,
in terms of education, health.
I love this situation because now they're all saying no. Oh, no. They know they're going to get wiped out in 2022 as far as the elections go. So now they're trying to reverse it. But it's a beautiful thing to hear the same guy who calls voting laws that require IDs Jim Crow, who also did, I think, a eulogy for the late Senator Byrd. Do I have that right?
Yes, the exalted cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan.
And who also had a huge part in the crime bills that ended up with so much mass incarceration in the black communities. I find it amazing now to hear him on TV explaining to a black reporter that the comments from a black senator about how America was not racist, how they were wrong. And he's going to explain to you how, no, we are. It's crazy town USA. And I know it gets brought up a lot about the tolerant left. You know, people say that sarcastically, but I've never seen them prove themselves to be so intolerant. Tim Scott goes out and says, you know, I face a lot of hate from these woke liberals. These tolerant liberals give me a really hard time. And then they're all sitting there going, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, Tim Scott. Wait till we react to this speech. It's like, it's insane to me. We'll be back on the other side. I see you guys lined up. We will take your calls, 844-500-4242. And you know who else has given Tim Scott some tips on how to understand how racist America is? Get this. Joy Behar, who wore blackface for a Halloween party, and Jimmy Kimmel, who wore blackface for a comedy sketch. These are the two people the left has come out with to explain to Senator Tim Scott, whose family went from cotton to Congress in one generation, why he doesn't understand racism. It's almost, you couldn't make it up. It's Babylon Bee. The world has become Babylon Bee headlines. It's good for me, though. It really is. It makes the show pretty easy. 844-500-4242. We'll be back. We'll play you guys some more of this sound. Really unbelievable stuff. And we have Chris DeGaulle coming up at 1:30. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm feeling this Friday. It's gorgeous out. Spring is here. And Tim Scott is making the left lose their minds. Honestly, if Joy Behar and Jimmy Kimmel keep this up, they're going to make Tim Scott our next president, and I'm totally fine with that. Today's poll question is brought to you by Old New England Soap. Old New England Soap makes the best woodwick soy candles that burn for up to 100 hours, as well as goat milk soaps, bath bombs, and now offering gift sets for Mother's Day and any occasion. Mother's Day is coming up very, very soon, so do not wait. Go to oldnewenglandsoap.com. It's old, O-L-D-E. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
What should the Bidens name the first cat? Aviator, after Joe's favorite glasses. Chip, after Joe's favorite ice cream, chocolate chip. Dandelion, or Sergeant.
I'm a fan of short names for pets, so I'm going to say Chip.
Chip is tied with Aviator at 19%. Dandelion still in the lead at 45%, and 17% for Sergeant.
Interesting. Tony, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, yes. Hi, Grace. I want to tell you, I love your show, listen to it all the time. But a little earlier, you were after what single yes-no questions you could have given Joe during his great interview there.
Yes.
my question to him would be when he had the response about not knowing about Giuliani and the FBI raid and everything, not knowing until everyone else. My word. I would have followed up with, Joe, is that the same, my word, as your Hunter Burisma and Russia? I don't know.
See, and Tony, that's the kind of stuff. It's those kind of minds that have the quick responses. I know that there's reporters out there who think it. They have to be able to think on their feet. They have to have those questions ready, but they just don't want to. It's like I always say this, when they want to do something, when they want to investigate something, when they want to be tough, they can turn into hyenas. I wrote all about this for Spectator. I'll tweet it out again today, but these press people, the transition from watching them go from formerly serious journalists to rabid, crazy people, unhinged lunatics during the Trump administration, back to these docile cheerleaders who are just, you know, holding Joe's hand as he walks along the White House lawn. It's embarrassing for them. That's my question for the media. Aren't you embarrassed? How do you get up? How do you look yourself in the mirror every day? Thank you for the call, Tony.
Aren't you embarrassed?
I ask that all the time. Thank you for the call, Tony. Keep listening to the show. Mike from Maine, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Joy. I forgot your name, I'm sorry.
No Grace. Problem.
Yes. my brain is short-circuiting. Okay, first of all, just a quick comment, which I think sums it up. When I see Sniffer Joe, I think of the movie Weekend at Bernie's, which, of course, Joe being Bernie, mm-hmm. propping him up. I think the guy passed away years ago and doesn't know it yet. And I think if God himself appeared to this guy, his first words would be, "Hey, man, where's your mask?"
I know. It's crazy. He really does. And I encourage everyone to go watch that video on Twitter, Mike, because watching it feels... You feel like you're in an alternate universe. I mean, he's yelling into the microphone, "I forgot my mask! I forgot my mask!" And he's outside! He's outside!
"Looking for my mask. I'm in trouble."
He's in trouble yet again. Aren't you always in trouble, Joe? It's really weird, and there was a lot of things he said during that interview that could have used follow-ups, but this is why he's doing these now, is because he knows he's not going to get any pushback, let alone from Craig Melvin. Let's play a couple more of these. Now, I'm curious about this answer, because this is what I keep asking today. Why is he wearing a mask outside? Well, here's the answer, cut three.
CDC guidance this week about outdoor mask wearing. Yeah. A lot of folks excited that they can now shed these masks if they've been double vaccinated. Are you going to be one of these folks now? We no longer going to see the President of the United States outside with a mask on?
Sure. I mean, but what I'm going to do, though, because the likelihood of my being able to be outside and people not come up to me is not very, very high. So it's like, look, you...
Wait a second. Do you guys remember his rallies? I'm using that term super loosely. What is it? He thinks he's the Beatles? Like, what, he's Justin Bieber? People are going to swarm him? He had about 7 people at his things. He had about 40 people watching his address on YouTube. I'm nervous for him. What is happening? He thinks he's going to get swarmed by the paparazzi? I'm sorry, Jerry. Keep playing it.
You and I took our masks off when I came in, because look at the distance we are. But if we were, in fact, sitting there talking to one another close, I'd have my mask on, and I'm sure you'd have a mask, even though we've both been vaccinated. And so it's a small...
This is what he does. I'm saying this, and you do that, and none of this makes any sense, but here we are. All right, we'll be back with Chris Stegall. I cannot wait to break this down with him. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
But in April alone, Mr. President, 170,000 people, migrants, apprehended at the border. It's a 20-year record. There are 22,000 unaccompanied children in our country right now. That's a record. That sounds to most folks like a crisis.
Well, look, it's way down now. We've now gotten control.
Is that also his word as a Biden? He loves numbers.
No joke.
He loves numbers until they're not going in the way he wants them to. And then he's like, oh, no, it's way, way down. Please elaborate, good sir. What does that mean? Way, way down. The Border Patrol agents would beg to differ. They would beg to differ.
Well, give them 5 days. They'll get rid of those guys.
Yeah, I saw that comment, too. Someone said, someone said abolish ICE. And he said, just give me 5 days.
Yep.
I don't even know if he would know what he meant by that, so I'm not even going to get into that one. All right, so you guys know this. On Fridays, I love to keep it light, keep it fun, give you guys a nice little upbeat show before you head into your weekend. But I did have to cover all this nonsense. I mean, the liberal left is being terrible to Tim Scott. The treatment he is getting is reprehensible. Then we have Joe Biden kind of really going on a lot of different platforms. I mean, he did the rally in Atlanta. He did the Today Show hit. And then he's obviously coming off of that highly watched speech. 11.5 million people tuned in. They were glued to their TV screens. And so I wanted to cover all this, but I needed somebody who could do it in a fun way. And there's no guest I love to have on more than Chris Stegall. Chris has his own podcast, which I highly recommend you guys check out, The Chris Stegall Show. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. Chris, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh, it is so good to talk to you on a Friday, Grace. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Chris. Now, first, let's start from the beginning, okay? What did you think of Biden's speech?
What did I think of Biden's speech? It's all such silliness, isn't it? I can't get... Look, Grace, here's the deal. I'm Joe Biden all of a sudden. See what I've done?
I do that, Chris. I do that all the time, and I hate myself. And I also say, let me be really clear. And then I'm like, oh my God, Grace, you got to stop. What am I going to be whispering to the audience next?
Yeah. Let me be clear. Have you noticed today, I think just yesterday in an interview, Biden also did, I found out about it just watching cable like you. He did exactly what Obama used to say. Oh, I found out about it just like you.
Yeah.
They always
yeah.
find out about it just like us. The most powerful men in the world always find out about stuff just like us. That's always unsettling, and I don't believe it. But anyway, I can't get past the week leading up to Wednesday night's speech, which was all over the map, and you talked a little about it. I can't get I talked with the White House correspondent for Newsmax this week, and I've begged her, and she said she's going to ask this next week on my behalf.
Emerald Robinson.
The movement... Emerald, thank you.
Yes.
Emerald, I begged her, I said, would you ask what is the movement of this president? Why is there always such oddity in the way in which he moves? And what do I mean by that? And most people don't pay attention to this, and I understand that it's not a big deal. It wouldn't sound like a big deal. There's been a pool report this week that says Joe Biden landed like Monday on Marine One on the White House lawn, as they do, and that he and Jill got off Marine One and an SUV picked them up and drove them the few feet to the White House door. And then the mask announcement day, he comes out this new door in the White House we've never seen, and he walks down this long wheelchair ramp for what seems to be like a football field's walk by himself in a mask, where he takes it off and makes the announcement, you can take off the mask. By the joint address, he's got the mask back on again. Then he goes down to Georgia and he can't find the mask, and then he's got to get the mask on, and there's this cautious walking and Jill's holding his hand. I just want to know, is this a Visiting Angels audition? You know, the Visiting Angels spot? Jill looks like she's a wet nurse, not his wife. And I need to know why when they travel she's always at his side. I don't think the man's well.
No, I don't either.
Before we talk about anything else?
And I agree with you, and I say that all the time, and I say it seriously, because I don't want people to think that we think it's, you know, that it's a joking matter. I mean, he is the leader of the free world, and there does seem to be a lot of cognitive decline, but I agree with you, the movement does seem strange. And then Chris, when he gave that address, I started thinking about when Donald Trump used to give these addresses, and how kind of nervous I would be. I mean, I'm not I'm not a fair and balanced reporter. I'm a Trump supporter. I'm very open about that.
Sure.
But I would get a little nervous because I'm like, I really hope, I know how critical they were. And I just was thinking, you know, I hope he delivers. I can't imagine if I was a supporter of President Biden, if I was like, let's say, Andrea Mitchell, how nervous these people must be watching him walk up to that stage and take the mic. They must be like on pins and needles for what's going to come out of his mouth.
I suspect you're right, although if you listen to them after, I mean, everybody from Van Jones to Andrea Mitchell to, you know, the whole crew at CNN, all of they were gushing.
Yeah.
And you know why? And here's the thing, Grace, you understand this. Your audience understands this. We're smart. We get it by now. What he proposed was some of the most radical stuff we've ever heard to date from any Democrat ever. It was more radical than anything that ever came out of Barack Obama's mouth, except Barack Obama could have never said it. Joe Biden can, and that's the reason he's here. Joe Biden is that avuncular, grandfatherly character, and if you listen to the critiques from the left on that speech, they all said the same thing. He's so nice. Isn't he sweet? Isn't he gentle? He reminds me of my grandfather. And that is meant to be his greatest asset and attribute, that he whispers, Grace,
yeah.
Listen to me. God love you. Honestly, I'm serious. That's supposed to make you, I don't know, enchanted with socialism.
No, exactly. And that's what I always say. I said this before you came on, Chris. I was like, you know, all these people who are normal people who I know who voted for Joe Biden, they have to fill up their gas tanks. They have to, you know, deal with these taxes. But they voted so that they could feel good because Biden cares and Biden cries. Now, meanwhile, Rome is burning. The borders are, you know, totally overflowing. There's the schools are still shut down. Everything's a disaster, but at least when they go to bed at night, they go, oh, but he's so sweet. Isn't he the sweetest thing? I'm like, what good does it do you? Sometimes the most successful people in the world aren't there because they were so nice to everybody and they made everybody feel good.
Yeah, that's right. And he picked a dandelion for Jill. Isn't that sweet? Now, you probably heard today, that here's how the news reports this. Again, I'm sorry. I don't mean to like zero in on this, but this is a deal for me now, Grace. Like, I'm on this like white on rice. Can I say that, or is that racist?
I think you can still say that.
Maybe I should have said brown rice, but I don't know. That's appropriation or something. But my point is, you're hearing this news report today by President Biden traveling to Philadelphia. Have you heard that report a few times today?
Yes.
He's traveling to Philadelphia to talk about Amtrak. Do you know why? Do you know why his headquarters were in Philadelphia? Do you know why he's traveling to Philadelphia and why he always will often travel to Philadelphia?
I don't.
There's a reason. Wilmington, Delaware is 20 miles down the highway, which is where he's going when he's done today, which is where he goes every weekend, and nobody talks about that. He and Jill don't stay at the White House. They keep coming back to Delaware every week, almost every single weekend since he's been elected. Quote, elected, air quotes.
So are you saying that Major isn't the only one who's having a hard time adjusting to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
Look, I don't know what goes on. All I know is Joe Biden travels to Philadelphia. The only reason he's traveling to Philadelphia, it's the closest thing to his house slippers. And I just want to know why. Like, you've got the White House. You've got the biggest, best house in the country. Why are you coming home to Wilmington? I mean, Wilmington's fine, I guess, but really? Almost every weekend? What is going on there? Like, am I wrong to be curious about that, Grace?
No, you're not. You're not. I actually think those are really good questions, and they're going to try really, really hard to not give you any answers. I'm speaking with Chris DeGaulle. You guys should check out his podcast. Chris, one of your podcasts that came out recently that I really enjoyed, you talked a lot about the CDC and about how President Biden has explained that vaccinated people could be maskless outside in small groups. Now I know you're like me. You're always walking around kind of trying to observe what the current is outside. And I've noticed, at least here in Massachusetts, which guaranteed is crazy land, but I've noticed that people still, even with the ruling of our great leader, Joe Biden, they still have the masks on.
I had this amazing dinner last night with a guy who's a conservative, a self-identified conservative, and I don't know him well. But I hadn't seen him since the pandemic kind of started over a year ago. And this is the first time I'd seen him in person. And I asked him about it and what he thought about it. And he admitted to me, Grace, something that kind of blew my mind. Because, again, Trump voter, conservative guy. And he said to me, Chris, I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. When this thing started, I was terrified. terrified. I said, "What do you?" I was like, "Talk to me. What do you mean?" He said, "I locked myself in my house. The only time I left was to go grocery shopping. I was one of those guys that when I brought the groceries home, I wiped them down. I let them sit out for a day. I was scared out of my mind." He said, "I had to shut off all the media." He went to a therapist. He admitted all this stuff to me, and I'm not shaming him about it. It just occurred to me that this is a Republican voter. And I thought, wow, we really have our work cut out for us, Grace. This is like, this is not just some sort of left-wing Karen ha-ha thing. I think there was a good chunk of this country, not just Democrats, who had the ever-loving crap scared out of them
right.
about this thing. And it's a long walk back from that.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. And I think there's been some people who have pointed out that it would be good for all of us to show people a little bit of grace, like your friend. And I can just tell by the way you described it that you did just that. But there are people who were really, I don't want to say suckered into it, because of course people died, and of course it's real if you're part of a vulnerable population or you have comorbidities. But there were a lot of people who let the media turn this into something in their minds that it just wasn't. And I agree with you. I think we have a long way to go as far as breaking people out of this mindset. They're walking around with these masks, and it doesn't seem to be because they're following the rules anymore. It seems to be because they like it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It's I'm sorry if this sounds like I'm making fun. I actually am not making fun. But, you know, I have known some people that have grown up, you know, through their teen years and maybe even into college, that are still carrying around something they slept with as a small child, you know, maybe a blanket or a ratty old stuffed animal or something. It sort of makes you think it's that.
It's a security blanket.
It's an odd Linus blanket.
Yes.
They can't, and it's a show of solidarity. And I think for bureaucrats, it's a sign of control and submission. Daniel Horowitz said it's the modern day burqa. Pretty aggressive, but it's interesting because if you've had your vaccine and people are still wearing it, you say, why are you still wearing that if you had the vaccine? And now it's this allegiance to it. Well, I don't want to spread it to other people. Fauci's put it in people's heads that once they have the vaccine, they could still transmit it unknowingly to others. So now it's just become an article of faith.
Right.
Even if they'll never get sick again, they're just going to wear it as a pledge of allegiance to Fauci. I pledge allegiance to the Fauci of the United States of America.
Chris, you know what I saw the other day?
It's eerie.
I saw on social media somebody commented, I'm going to keep my mask on outside because I don't want anyone to confuse me with being a Republican. And I thought to myself, no one's going to confuse you as a Republican.
No.
We got it. We understand.
You and your many, 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 many cats, undoubtedly.
Speaking of that, did you hear the I'm not a cat person, so I take no offense, but did you hear the interview with Craig Melvin where he was, you know, the first question out of the gate? And Chris, this was a question I talked a lot about with my listeners about today, because I said, you know, if you got Joe Biden alone for 5 minutes and, you know, no handlers, no one shooing you out of the room, what would you ask him? And Craig Melvin's first question was about Major the dog, because this is the state of our media in 2021. But Chris, what would you ask Joe? Like a real question if you could get him on the spot.
Oh, my gosh. That's a big one. What would I ask him? I think I'd say, what would I ask him if I had him on the spot? You can stop the border right now. Why won't you do it?
Yeah.
Would probably be the most immediate urgency in my mind would probably be the first question I'd ask, which is the border situation, the terrible, terrible situation at the border. You can stop this. Why aren't you doing it? I think would probably be
that's a
statement of fact.
I think that's a great one. And you can really, you know, and that's, I was telling my audience, I said, the key is, because my dad sends me questions all the time and they're always really pointed. Like the key is you don't want to give them any wiggle room. You want to be able to keep drilling them back to the question, answer the question. It's like a courtroom scene.
Yes.
Chris, thank you very much for joining us.
Why do you refuse to, on any given moment of any given day, stay on the same message with masking? Why do you continue to confuse people about masking?
Right.
Why? Yeah.
Yeah.
Question. So anyway, great talking to you, Grace.
Chris, where can people follow you on Twitter? Because you have a great feed on Twitter.
Well, thank you. It's at Chris Stigall, C-H-R-I-S-S-T-I-G-A-L-L. I'd love to have you aboard, or go to chrisstigall.com. I'm linked up to everything there, the podcast, the whole shooting match.
The podcast is awesome. Keep it up, Chris. Thank you very much for joining the show. Guys, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want your take on what Chris and I just talked about, whether you want to talk about Tim Scott's speech, Biden on the Today Show. We got more sound of that. And I also want to discuss a little bit about what's happening with Seattle police officers. I don't know if you've seen the story, but they're leaving in droves. And it's no surprise if you've been following what's happening there. We'll be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
I say this a lot, but as much as I would take Trump being president over show content any day of the week, you guys know that, and twice on Sunday. But I have to say, the material is just never ending. John Kerry, according to Fox News, invested in oil companies prior to becoming Biden's climate envoy, financial disclosures show. What's next? What, is he going to fly in a private plane? Does this guy have no shame? And they asked him, actually, Jared, why he invested in these oil companies, and he had an answer.
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
I'm sure it is, my good man. Also, another story I wanted to talk about. If you guys want to call in about that, I know John Kerry gets the people going. That's totally fine. But did you see this story about what's happening at SNL? They're having Elon Musk, the CEO, creator, founder of Tesla. I don't know what he's high up on there, and he's one of the richest people in the world. They're having him host SNL, and he tweeted it out at one point and said, "We'll see how live SNL really is." And some of the cast members were offended. One of the cast members started posting about how, you know, the richest people in the world own more wealth than the, you know, you guys know the statistics. And how awful it is, how much money he has. And now I'm just reading a story where it says, listen to how losery this is. SNL cast won't be forced to appear with controversial host Elon Musk. Well, no one is forced to watch it. And that is the best thing of all. Elon Musk, say what you want about him. I personally like him. I think he's a free thinker. I'm all about that. But he can turn something that has zero potential, like an SNL, into a huge success. He can get eyeballs watching the show. But the woke cast at SNL, you know, they're like Don Lemon. They don't care about ratings. They care about virtue signaling. We'll be back on the other side. We'll keep the phone lines open. We got one more hour on this Friday. We're going to make it good, guys. It's the Grace Curley Show.